Today, I want to answer another very important question. So here's the question. Does the church matter? Does the church matter? As we look around the world today, it doesn't take long for us to see that loneliness is a serious problem. In 2023, U.S. Surgeon General released a report entitled, "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation." That study sounded off an alarm on a number of scary trends in society. Depression up, anxiety up, suicide rate up. Another similar study, the Harvard study, it's actually the longest study over 50 years done on health and happiness. They discovered that the health impact of loneliness is quite dire, related to our physical health. Think about this: physical health, mental health, and emotional health. It's interesting because this chronic loneliness is pervasive in our culture. And it's somewhat ironic because we have also the proliferation of social media, right? We were told that that was going to connect us all. The last 10 years, the phenomenon of social media. Well, we're more connected than ever, but studies show that we're actually more lonely than ever. So how can these devices that are attempting to connect us not delivering what it was promised to us? Of course, we also have lived through a worldwide psychological study on the effects of trying to do life alone called COVID. It didn't work well. How many know what I'm talking about? Anxiety up, depression up, suicide rate up. You ought to imagine as pastors how many emails that we've got, how many pastoral care calls that we get, how many visits that we have to make on people that I just can't be alone anymore. I'm just going crazy. And again, because isolation was never God's idea. God created us as relational beings. God didn't create us to be isolated. And we go through statistic after statistic after statistic. God has created us for community. We were made to connect. Mother Teresa once said, "Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty." Maybe you're battling loneliness right now. Maybe that this message, you thought, my gosh, this is exactly what I need to hear. I don't know why it is, Pastor Steve, I don't know why it is that I feel this way. I'm married or I'm in a crowd at times, but yet inside I feel lonely. Matter of fact, this week I had a great opportunity. I went to a church conference that I go to every year. In a sense, it's almost like a family gathering. We connect together and it's some friends of mine. And it's really cool. Every time I see these friends, we hadn't seen some of them in a year and some two. And there's just these deposits that are placed within me. It's almost like you hug them. What's going on? You know, other pastors and church leaders and friends. And we may talk throughout the year at different times, but yet when you see them face to face and you interact with them, there's a deposit. I got to tell you, that was Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By Wednesday afternoon, my soul was getting filled up. Can anybody relate to that? I just felt, man, and let me tell you, it's not, I've got personal challenges I'm dealing with. I've got professional challenges I'm dealing with. So it's not to suggest that the relationships do away with the challenges, but it is to suggest that it fills me right in the midst of the challenges. Then I went to West Palm Beach, actually Pastor Jacob Aranza, Pastor Jim LaFoon, to go celebrate Coach Tom Mullins, Coach Tom and Pastor Tom, he's called Coach too. He and Donna, 40 years anniversary of Christ Fellowship. Todd and Julia preach here. Matter of fact, Julie did our women's night. How many of y'all love Julie Mullins? She did it last year, ladies. Actually, recently. And as well. And so I had the privilege of speaking there. There was other speakers there. And again, lots of hugs. Lots of encouragement. Lots of love. And it's almost as though every time there's an arm put around you, it's almost like there's another deposit put into the emotional bank. So here's my question. My question is, what is the antidote to the epidemic? We have a global epidemic of loneliness. What is the antidote to the epidemic called loneliness? Last week, I spoke about Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, don't leave in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, something was birthed. I'll tell you what it was the church. Not the organizational component, but the organism, the spiritual organism called the church. Pastor Steve, what is God's antidote to the loneliness epidemic in the earth? I tell you what it is, it's the church. Does the church matter? Oh, you bet it is. The church matters. The church is God's solution. It's God's plan A. It's God's plan A to the loneliness in our culture, to the social and emotional poverty in our culture, for people feeling like, I don't fit, I don't belong. It's the place where God loves you and cares for you and nurtures you and encourages you. It's his church. It's a place you discover your gifts and talents. It's a place that you dream with people and you do life with people. It's God's church. I want to resoundingly say to all of our locations, Pastor, does the church matter? You bet the church matters. How many are grateful for the church of Jesus Christ? It matters. It's where we overcome life's hurts and challenges. It's the encouragement through the body of Christ. The church is the greenhouse. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I did a number of jobs and I did anything to make money And so there was a season I was a landscaper. And I'll never forget, the company that I worked for repaired one of the greenhouses of the city park greenhouse. And I remember talking to the person that's over the botanical garden. I remember talking about it. And they said, you can have the right seed, you can have the right plant, but if you have the wrong environment, it's not going to grow. That marked me. As a young man, I want you to think about it. You can have the right seed, you can have the right plant, but it's not just the seed, it's the environment. Pastor, I don't know why I'm not growing. I don't know what's going on. Well, God has called you to plant your life, but you can't plant your life just in your own self. You got to plant it in a greenhouse, and the greenhouse is called God's church. There's certain biotic elements of life and development. In other words, God's plan. There is only a plan A. There's not a plan B. God's plan A for the solution for the ills of humanity is Christ's church. Psalms 92, verse 12, speaking of the concept of flourishing and growing. I love this. I love these verses. The psalmist writes, the righteous shall flourish. Everybody say flourish. There's that concept. You can have the right seed in the wrong environment and it won't flourish. Those that flourish, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He or she shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted, not just casual inquire, not plant, uproot, plant, uproot, plant, uproot. Those that are planted, everyone say planted. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. There's a planting and there's a flourishing. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. If seeds are not planted in the right environment, even the best seeds will not grow. If you put a palm tree in Alaska, it's not growing. Why is that? Because of the seed? No, because of the environment. You got to plant. You got to plant the seed in the right environment. God's environment, God's design, God's plan. God's plan for human development, human flourishing, human growth, prospering, moving forward spiritually, emotionally, mentally, being encouraged vocationally. It's God's house. It's God's church. It's God's plan. God has a house. God has a plan. And God's plan, why would we want to do life apart from God's plan? The church of Jesus Christ is not peripheral to God's plan. It's not tangential. It's not on the edges. It's not on the margins. It's right smack dab in the middle of God's will. What is the solution and the antidote to the epidemic of loneliness in our culture? It is God's church. I talk to people all the time who have wrong concept about the church. I hear people say this. I say, I don't really need the church. You know, I listen to podcasts. like a podcast has a way of healing your soul. I'm not suggesting that information distillation is not good. I do podcasts, but I'm going to tell you, it shouldn't replace mano y mano. It shouldn't replace you connecting with somebody. It shouldn't replace your small group. It shouldn't replace you being accountable to people and growing in like faith and precious faith. No, you got to be with people. How many times has somebody said that? Well, you know, and there's this whole move, you know, in today. It's like, well, I don't need the church. I'll just listen to this. Well, guess what? Then you're more spiritual than Jesus. Because when Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, how many know that's a trial? Guess what? He didn't go alone. He had Peter, James, and John. If Jesus needed Peter, James, and John in his moment of trial, how much more do we? There is no plan B. There's only plan A, God's church. Let me ask you, are you firmly planted and rooted in God's house? Are you planted in the household? I understand we live in a mobile society. I understand that there's job changes and people move. But I will say this, if you move to another city, find another life-giving church that preaches the Bible where you can be discipled. If it's 5 years later and you hadn't found a church, maybe the problem's not with the churches in the community. Maybe it's you. Ooh, that was strong preaching, Pastor. That was my intention. Participating in the life of the church, there's nothing else that compares. I remember when I got saved, man, I'm being involved in the life of the church. Some of my best friends, we were serving together. That's what I love in our church. We see people hanging out. They're serving in children's ministry together and ushers and greeters and in small groups and dreaming together and planning together and praying together. And by the way, weeping together and rejoicing together. It's not always good, but the church is there to put its arm around you when you're not doing well as well. It's all the above, and you dream together, and you cry together, but it's the interconnectedness of your life with somebody else's life. It is God's plan A in the earth. There is no plan B. It's God's design and template for human flourishing and growth and development. It's God's way. You know, I spent a lot of time actually in California, lots of reasons why, but I've been in Northern California. And I know we have people from California that watch and that live there. We don't know why you still do. But anyway, so sorry, it's true. And so there's in the northern part of California, some of you guys have seen these sequoia trees, and they're massive. They're just massive. And what's interesting about sequoia trees is as high up as they go, their root structure is not that deep down below the surface. But here's how it grows. The strength of the sequoia tree is not because the roots go so deep. It's they actually go pretty shallow, but they grow this way, and then they grow this way, and they interconnect their root systems with the other sequoia trees next to them. In other words, you don't have sequoia trees growing by themselves. They grow in groves. Can you show that picture? This is a real picture of it. So these massive trees. Now watch this. That sequoia tree by itself, when the wind hits it, and the adversity of the ecosystem and all that, guess what? It by itself could not stand. But what makes it strong, don't miss this, what makes it strong is its roots interconnect with the other tree roots. So the strength is not this way. The strength is this way. How many times have we gone through a hard time? How many times have I gone through a hard time in my life? I thank God for the church. The two primary purposes for roots are they nourish and give life, and they hold the plant in place. Life is tough. You get health challenges, a diagnosis, marriage challenges. You have a challenge with a child. You have financial shifts in your life. And what do? Yes, you cry out to God. And yes, you lift your voice to the Lord. And yes, the Lord hears. But thank God, God does not leave you alone. His presence is there, but his people are there. And it's his church. You can't stiff arm the people of God and do like this and then wonder why they're not there when you go through a crisis. You got to allow your life to be built with those that are around you. And when that happens, your life can handle the strong winds and the adversity. Why? Because you're connected. The concept of interconnectivity is not new to the 21st century. That was actually the design of the early church. Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, go wait in Jerusalem. He tells them, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit is poured out. Boom! The explosion of this spiritual organism. The church has organizational components, but it's an organism. It's alive. It's growing. It's vibrant. Acts chapter 2, this explosive nature of the early church. And there's some principles in those early believers that they did that really, what I would say, that really fortified them in the culture in which they lived. What are they? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they, this is the early church. And they continued. Everybody say continued. They weren't casual inquirers. They were in it. Come on. They were all in. They continued steadfastly. Number one, in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching. We believe in biblical doctrine at Church of the King. We believe that we build our life on the infallible, inspired word of God. How many are grateful for the power of God's word? How many all believe that? And we'll never apologize for the Bible at Church of the King. We build our lives upon the teaching of the word of God. Fellowship, what is that? The Greek word koinonia. It is the interconnectedness of God's body, God's church, God's house. All those are analogous terms. God's house, God's church, God's body. In the breaking of bread and prayers, they're praying for one another. They're having food with one another. They're hanging out. So continuing daily with one accord. One accord, the power of a unified body, of a unified church. One accord in the temple. So there was two meetings in the early church. One is in the temple. Solomon's porch, Solomon's temple, you would see that. They would often have upwards of 5,000 people. And the apostles would preach in the temple. Read the book of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5. But there weren't just public meetings. There was also private meetings or smaller meetings. So they met daily in the temple and breaking bread from what? Say it. House to house. So there was a corporate worship, but there was also a small group. Pastor Steve, what is more important at Church of the King? The weekend or a small group? Both. Because there's things that are met in the small group that you can't get on the weekend. And there's things on the weekend, the preaching of the word from the pastor, corporate worship, connecting with the larger body of Christ, a public demonstration of God's power in the community in which you live. There's things that happen on the weekend that don't happen in small group. There's things that in the small group that don't happen on the weekend. You need them both. In the small group, you can ask a question. In the small group, you have the body of Christ. You can get prayer after every one of our services, but you can have people hang out with you, and you're doing life with those people. So that's a New Testament pattern. They were in the temple, large group, and house to house, small group. What? They ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were dreaming together. They were planning together. They were praying together. They were weeping together. They were rejoicing together. The power of a unified body. What is the solution to the epidemic of loneliness in our culture? It's the church. It's God's plan A. Matter of fact, I am so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of our church. Next weekend, we're going to be doing something as a unified body. We serve all year long. It's not just one time a year. But one time a year, we come together as a unified body, thousands and thousands of people in all of our locations. And even online, they have different serve projects. It's super cool. But we'll have red shirts on called serve shirts, doing, I think, over 100 or 200 projects in the local communities. I encourage you. I'll be there. I encourage you to be a part of that. All you do, if you're not signed up, is you text the word connect to 822-822 or the foyer of all of our locations. What are we doing? We're serving people in the name of Jesus. How many of y'all believe it's God's will for our campuses to serve the local communities in the name of Jesus with the love of Christ at least once a year? At least once a year. It's more than that, but the first century church was unified in mission and purpose. Intentionality. I love the word flourish. I want you to think about that word, flourishing, growing, prospering, moving forward. There's growth. I just love that concept. It gives you such a good image in your mind. Jeremiah chapter 17 is a great picture of flourishing, a flourishing life. While the New Testament church was a flourishing community, there are individuals that are flourishing that make up the community. So God wants your life to flourish. God wants your family to flourish, but he wants the church that you belong with to flourish, to grow, to expand, to multiply, to make a difference. So we talked about Acts 2, the church. Let's talk about you as a person. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. I love this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Talk about a flourishing life. And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree. Watch this. Planted. Everybody say planted. You're going to see that word over and over. A seed must be planted. A life that grows must be planted, and it must be in a healthy environment. It's got to be planted. You can't plant it, take it up. Plant it, take it up. I'm hurt. I'm offended. Time out. You can't just take your glove home. You got to work through conflict. That's called relationships. We call it imperfect people serving a perfect God, learning how to negotiate and walk through life together. You got to stay planted. Everybody say planted. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Boom, boom. Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. While Acts chapter 2 is a picture of a flourishing community, Acts chapter 17 is a picture of a healthy, flourishing life and how they're interconnected. Flourishing church, flourishing family, flourishing individual, interconnected. So I want to give you in the remainder of our time four benefits to being planted and rooted. God's plan for human flourishing is for us to be rooted and planted in him and rooted and planted in his church. Number one, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. Number one, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Number one, the first benefit of being planted and rooted is strength in adversity. Strength in adversity. Notice the scripture says, not if the heat comes. It's not if the heat comes. It's not if the challenge with the child comes. It's not if a challenge in a relationship. It's when it comes. Why is that? It's because the inevitability of life. Jesus talked about that. He talked about trials and tribulations and storms. Things happen. We live in a broken cosmos. There's a real devil. There's a real antagonist that hates you and me. And we live in a fallen world. There's human wills involved and there's sinful natures involved, right? So things happen. And the Bible writer is so clear here. It says, when the heat comes, trials come, tribulations come. But notice, a flourishing life is not thrown off by the trial. A flourishing life is not thrown off by the tribulation because they're rooted in something deeper and stronger than the trial. They're rooted in God and they're rooted in the relationships that God has given them. Just like the sequoia tree, they're interconnected, connected with God and connected with others. You and I can weather the storms when we're connected. We can actually emerge victorious and stronger when we come out on the other side. The concept of community is the foundation of the fabric of the local church. It was true in the early church. It's true in the book of Acts. It's true today. We must be planted and rooted in relationship. I never forget Pastor Danny Mike came to me one time. He goes, honestly, Pastor Steve, it is so easy to promote Church of the King small groups. I said, why? He goes, well, it's because you are a living testimony of that. You got saved in a small group, filled with the Holy Spirit in a small group. You got things broken off your life in a small group. You got discipled in a small group. He goes, so all you do is every week you tell your testimony, and every week you tell your testimony, people are like, well, it happened for Pastor Steve. Can I tell you something? What small groups are is not some human management construct. It's called relationships. It's biblical relationships that have an intentionality behind them, and they meet at the same time, and they connect, and there's goals, and there's dreaming, and there's believing, and there's doing life, and learning scripture, and being together. It's called doing life together. I had a guy that was part of our church years ago, and he came back. He goes, you know what? You guys are still into the same thing. You kind of just preach the same thing, you know, and, you know, get saved, you know, and then kind of get discipled and get in small groups. I'm like, yep. Can I tell you why? Because it's called meat and potatoes, baby. Matthew chapter 28, get saved, make disciples. We're not looking for the latest wind of doctrine or to get off here and go find. No, we're going to keep preaching Christ and making disciples, winning souls and making disciples. That's the New Testament church. Strength in adversity. Are you lacking strength? Do you feel like every little wind knocks you over? You need godly relationships. You need to be planted. Number two is spiritual and emotional health. Look at Jeremiah 17, verse 8. But its leaf will be green. We all know what happens when leaves change and they turn brown. There's a reason they turn brown. It's because they're dead. But leaves that are green, people that are planted, everyone say planted, planted in relationship with God, planted in relationship with other believers. Not just the casual inquirer, but they're planted. Their leaf, the Bible says, will be green. God is a relational God. He created us, his prized creation. He created us, mankind. He created us with a need for connection, for relationship. One of the early verses in Scripture that bespeaks to this is Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Yes, this is can be applied to marriage, and yes, Adam and Eve, but it's much more. The extended application is, it's not good for anybody to be alone. The truth is, there are single people that are very connected, and they're not alone. And there's some married people that are alone. Because the issue is not, are you married or are you not? It's, are you connected to his house? Are you connected to vibrant, life-giving relationship that build you and encourage you and pray with you and stand with you? He said his leaf will be green. I cannot tell you in my life where my life would be if the people, the brothers and people that have walked, I don't know where my life would be. But I thank God for them. I thank God that life is hard, guys. Don't let any preacher tell you that there's not, that life's not tough. But you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do life alone. You don't have to do marriage alone. You can have marriage mentors and friends and people. And we have groups in our church. Yeah, you don't have to just raise kids by yourself. Well, we just figured it out by ourselves. Why don't you ask older believers in the Lord how to do it and how they did it? In other words, you don't have to do life alone. Loneliness is a choice. Yeah. Studies have proven that babies who have been held are appropriately cared for, literally, babies that are held, literally, their neurology, their minds, and their bodies are healthier. Scientists have known for decades that touch is critically important for a child's health development, their neurological patterns, how their brains are formulated, even as small infants, one, two, the health of their brain, the health of their emotions. Physical touch is part and parcel of helping to develop that. In the same way, adults, emotional connections, it's part and parcel of your healthy development. Where do we buy into this Lone Ranger? Even the Lone Ranger, it's a lie. He had Tonto. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you're under 50. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Come on, old folk, you know. We need people. The myth of the rugged individualist. No, there's nothing wrong with human autonomy and individual success. But I'm going to tell you, you need other people to A, achieve it, and definitely to maintain it. God designed us that way. Noted author and psychologist Henry Cloud says it well. God created us with a hunger for relationship. For relationship with him and with others. At our very core, we are relational beings. He goes on to say, the soul cannot prosper without being connected to others. That's why isolation is so painful. You don't have to live isolated. The antidote to the epidemic of loneliness globally is found in God's church. It is God's plan A. There is no plan B. It's God's church. The church matters. Number three, consistency and longevity. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. Listen to this. I love this verse. And this person that is planted, everyone say planted. They're planted in God and they're planted in relationship in the house of God. They'll not be anxious in the year of drought. The year of drought. The scripture goes over and over in talking about seasons. It's a concept that is built into the ecological framework of earth. The earth is governed by seasons, seed time and harvest. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. We understand life. The framework of life is often governed by seasons. Fall is coming and then it's winter and crops that they'll die off and then the ground and things happen and then there's planting. And so it's fall and winter and spring and summer. So God designed life that way, ecologically. God designed the human life that way. That we have seasons and you don't have equal output at all seasons. When you're a child, you're a baby, and it's all you're receiving. There's very little give. Very little productivity. It's all you're receiving. Why? You can't take care of yourself. Then you grow. And the concept is you move from dependence to independence to interdependence as a healthy human being, where you're a contributor to life. You give back, you contribute, and you have different seasons where you grow up and you graduate from school, and some people get married, the majority still do, and that's a blessing from God. And then you have children, and then you raise those kids, and then the children leave the house. Can I have a big amen in God's house? You know, and then you kind of revert, you have extra time, but then there's grandkids, and they're all wonderful, they're all blessed of God, and then some of you in retirement season. And there's times where your season feels like a drought. There's times where it feels as though you're not producing at the same level. But here's what the writer said. They'll not be anxious. Don't miss this. They'll not be anxious in the time of drought. In other words, they're not going to be anxious when their life is not as productive. Because watch this. Anxiety is not connected to productivity. Anxiety is connected to a lack of relationship. Regardless of what season that you may find yourself in, if you have relationships, yeah. The power of relationship, consistency, longevity, durability. When we're in relationship with people who know us, is there anybody who knows you? Do you allow yourself to be known? Or do you, and I say this respectfully, do you pick up your glove and go home every time you get into a tiff with somebody? Well, I don't want to cut them off, and I'm just going to cut this person. I don't want to be with them. Right. At some point, you got to ask yourself, why are you alone? Why are you alone? I know life's hard. It's not easy. You know, I mentioned earlier being with some of those brothers at that pastor's conference, and then with Coach Tom, and let me just tell you something. I was with Pastor Jacob and Pastor Jim and some other friends of mine. Can I tell you something? Pastor Jacob's been my pastor for 28 years. Pastor Jim has been a pastor to me for 25 years. Do you know we've all walked through things? I think back to the longevity of my relationship. Pastor Doug, Pastor Rainey Craig, 24 years he's walked with. Do you think that Pastor Rainey and I have never walked through things? Let me tell you the secret of walking along. It's a lot of, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant, please forgive me, hey, let's start fresh. In other words, you got to hang in the game when you're connected to relationship. Anxiety is often attached to a lack of relationship, not a lack of productivity. You won't be anxious in the time of drought. Why? Because you're connected. What do we really want anyway? Why do you want to be successful? What are you really after? Sure, God has created us with a dominion mandate, Genesis chapter 1, to be productive. But at the end of the day, what satisfies you is life-giving relationships. Yeah. It says that you won't be anxious in the time of drought. When you get to that retirement season, you know what's so painful to see some people that work their whole lives to save up enough money to be able to do things that they want to do, but they don't have anybody to do anything with. Let's learn the skills. Let's learn how to stay in there, to hang in there, to lean in. Somebody that is planted, everyone say planted. Somebody that's planted and they're rooted. Number one, they have strength in relationship to be able to face adversity. Two, there's spiritual and emotional health and vitality. There's consistency and longevity. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. Due season we shall reap. Number four, productivity. Jeremiah 17, verse 8. Are you guys learning anything? Is this helping anybody? I hope so. I'm trying to help you. Jeremiah 17, verse 8. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. When you and I are planted in healthy relationships in God's church, your life will be productive. In a good church, you'll be challenged. You'll be loved. You'll be prayed for. You'll be coached up. Productivity is important. Fruit's important. Being productive with your life's important. But notice it's at the end. We're connected with God. We're connected with others. Productivity ought to be an overflow of your life. An overflow of health in your soul and your emotional health, of your mental health. Jeremiah 17 and Psalms 92 speak of the promise of being planted in the house of the Lord. The church is God's plan A. There is no plan B. It is the antidote to the dilemma of human brokenness and human loneliness. It's the church. The church. It's God's answer. Does the church matter, Pastor? Absolutely, the church matters. We are called to be salt and light, my friends. Salt and light. It's the church that preserves. The church preserves culture. The church preserves. We're called to be salt. Everyone say salt. I'll never forget a number of years ago, I was in Alaska hunting. We hunt at Church of the King. It's okay if you don't like it. I'm not changing. I mean that. But anyway, and I shot an animal. Thought I'd just say that. I didn't put it on the internet, but I could have. And we didn't have ice to be able to maintain the hide, so the guide put salt on the hide and maintained it. Can you imagine? We are salt, the salt of the earth. We are called to be the light of the world. Do you know that culture right now, even though they may hate God and hate the gospel, they don't realize that we're the only thing that is actually preserving. We are the preservative to keep this thing up. It's the church. The church preserves. The church penetrates. Light penetrates darkness. What's stronger, darkness or light? If you have every light off at every one of our campuses and it's complete darkness, boom, you turn on the light. Light's stronger than darkness. The church preserves culture. The church penetrates culture. The church purifies culture. It purifies. The church has been more human good done from the church of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. Think about all the churches that have been planted around the world since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Think about the hospitals that have been built, the orphanages that have been built, the dream centers, the points of compassion and care. That's the church. Does the church matter? Yes. I was born in Methodist Hospital. Some of you were born in Mercy Hospital. Some of you were born in Baptist Hospital. That's called the church. Rolling up its sleeves saying, we're going to help humanity. It's God's church. It's the solution. Our culture is so lost. They're broken. They're confused. Without the church preserving culture, it rots. The culture rots. How will culture know what's right from wrong without the church? How will the culture know what a man is, what a woman is, what marriage is without somebody preaching the truth? It's the church. I'm not waiting for a psychologist to define truth. I'm letting God's word define truth. And I'm not against psychologists if they're saved and they know God. It's the church. You hear people say this all the time. Well, I love Jesus, but I just hate the church. Be careful hating on God's church. Be careful hating on God's church. I don't need people. I don't need the church. I just kind of sit in, you know, coffee shops, read the book of Revelation by myself. That's why you're weird. Seriously, you're weird. And I'd be weird if I wasn't around people. But you're really weird. That was funny. Don't hate on God's church. I know it's imperfect. And I know pastors do stupid things. And I know church members do stupid things. And the church, nobody said the church is perfect, but it's God's plan. It's God's plan in the earth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Christ also loved. Come on, everybody, say it. The what? Say it. The church. Don't hate on what Jesus died for on the cross for. Be careful. Well, I'm looking for the perfect church. Don't go there because you'll mess it up. I'll mess it up because I'm not perfect. I know there's churches that are healthier than others, but there's no perfect church. Christ loved the church. Christ died for the church. Apparently, she's worth, listen, apparently, she's worth dying for. It's God's plan A. There's no other solution to the problems of humanity. It's the church. Does the church matter? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my, come on everybody, say it, church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If that's Jesus' goal, what should be our response? Come as you go, come as you are, whenever you want. Come to church when it's not rainy, when it's not windy, when it's not too cold, when it's not too hot, when there's not a parade, when there's not a festival, when there's not travel ball, when there's not ballet, when there's not a game. Just come every now and then. What are we doing this weekend? I don't know. Do we have this? Do we have this? Do we have this? Nothing else to do. We might as well just go to church. Is that what Jesus died for? Why would you not go to the place that'll save your soul from hell? Why would you not go to the place that'll put hope in your heart? Why wouldn't you not go to a place that gets your thinking straight? How many times have I had someone say, man, I'm so glad I went to church. I feel so much better. Duh! That's the point. If I was the devil, I'd keep you out of church too. Yeah. I'm excited about the church. The church isn't perfect. And by the way, this is not a polemic to defend Church of the King. There's better churches even in our community than Church of the King. This is the body of Christ that is spirit-filled, born-again, preaching the Bible. I'm defending God's church, globally speaking. There is no perfect church. There's only a perfect God, but I am proud to be a part of God's church. Come on, who else is proud to be a part? Proud to be a part of God's church. Proud to be a part of it. And I'll say this as a pastor, I walk in the fear of the Lord that I get to be a part of God's church and to serve you guys. It's a privilege. And I don't take it lightly. I'm gonna ask everybody to bow their heads. First step to walking with God is surrendering your heart to Jesus. Maybe you don't know Christ. I'm not talking about the church right now. First, I'm talking about, do you know Jesus as the Savior? So the church can't save you. The church disciples you. The church builds you. The church encourages you. Jesus saves you. It's important you know that. Do you know Christ? Do you know that you know if you die today that you're ready to stand before God? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die for your sin and my sin. The good news, somebody did. His name is Jesus. Do you know Christ? Do you know that you know if you die today you're ready to stand before God? In just a moment, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Christ. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me, to cleanse me, and to make me new. I want to be at peace with God. In just a moment, the count of three, Pastor, pray for me. I need Christ. If that's you, all of our locations, those that are watching online, at all the jails, all the prisons, those that are literally watching around the world, in just a moment, the count of three, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Pastor, pray for me. I need Christ. I'm not where I need to be with God. If that's you, the count of three, just lift your hand up high. All of our locations, one, two, three, quickly, hold up your hand. Yeah, all of our locations, just hold your hand up high. The campus pastors are coming on the stage right now, and they're gonna pray with you guys in just a moment. It's awesome. It's wonderful, all of our locations. Church family, can we pray with those that are trusting Christ right now? Let's pray, come on. All of us as a church family, this is the most important prayer that people will ever pray. This is surrendering to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Come on, let's pray with them. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner, in need of a Savior. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I let go of my past and I turn to you. I turn to the cross. Say, Jesus, wash me with your blood. Give me a new heart, a new life, a new reason to live. I want you to say this. Say, Jesus, I take my life and I put in your hands. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the sealing work of the Holy Spirit and the word of the living God taking root deep in the hearts of your people. In Jesus'
name. Wow, what an incredible message. And I really hope that you're walking away encouraged and full of hope that God is with you and God loves you. And I do want to take a second to talk to those of you who may be making a decision right now to commit your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe to recommit your life to Christ. If that is you, we are so excited for you. And as a church, we would love nothing more than to just walk alongside you, to show you what it means to follow Jesus. Because we believe that you're leaving the past in the past, and this is not the finish line, it's actually the starting line of an amazing life of following Jesus for the rest of your life. So would you give us the privilege of just following up with you, giving you some resources and helping you as you're beginning to walk out this new life of following Jesus. And again, congratulations, we're so excited for you. And if you do want to be a part of just partnering with us to continue to reach people and build lives, you can always go online to churchoftheking.com/give to be a part of seeing the gospel go forth and people to hear about Jesus. And lastly, I want to encourage you, if you're not already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to follow us on Facebook, to really stay up to date with all that God has for us, all the content that we're putting out. Pastor Steve has some powerful messages every single week for us, and we're really growing and learning what it means to live out the life that God has for us. I encourage you to follow along, to be a part of all that God is doing here at Church of the King. And again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of our service today. We love you guys. We hope you have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you very soon.